People always ask me, oh, this is who we're looking at this week? And it's actually not. So in your handout that you look at, those are scripture passages and an opportunity for you to dive deeper in the topic that we're looking at this morning through this week with different subjects to look at. So if you're looking to follow along with what I'm saying this morning, just focus on that empty side of what is the Lord saying to me this week, and then you have some materials already prepared for your quiet time through this week with the Lord to once again open up even deeper into the scripture and to look at what we're discussing this morning. This morning, we're looking at a specific role and office. The job of deputy, assistant, vice president, apprentice, attendants, colleagues, companions, accomplices, accessories, adjunct allies, auxiliaries, collaborators, confederates, flunkies, followers, helpers, patrons, subordinates, supporters, coadjuncts, right-hand persons. All of these roles in leadership, all of these opportunities to be a second to someone who is in the spotlight, actually come from the Lord. The Lord created this opportunity for someone to have a primary role of leadership and for there to be an equally as important behind-the-scenes supportive role within that. And God actually ordained this within ministry. God told Moses that Aaron would go with him, that he would be all of these different things to Moses in terms of the ministry that Moses had to do. And this practice in terms of having a leader and someone working with them, supporting them, and helping them accomplish their goal actually became more of a common practice within Scripture. We look at today as within our boards, within businesses, there's always someone who's at the top, and then whether it be an assistant or a CEO or a CFO, helping that leader accomplish their goal. This structure of making sure that we have a team in place to do what the Lord is leading us to is actually pretty essential within all the examples that are given within Scripture. Even the prophets themselves had assistants and helpers. We see Scripture being full of these relationships where one person is the key leader and another is supportive. In your take-home this week, you get the opportunity to look at Paul and Timothy, Elisha and Elijah, Eli and Samuel. You get to see how these relationships are not necessarily bound by age or experience or office, but that the Lord can draw anyone into these circumstances and opportunities. One of the neatest in my mind is when Eli is coaching the young boy Samuel on how to hear from the Lord for his ministry moving forward. This is supposed to be the guru, the guy who knows and sees and is the closest to God, educating a child and leading him and preparing him and following him in the ministry that will come forward. For Aaron, his role began with a burning bush. His role began because someone else said, no, I don't want to. I'm not good enough. I don't feel that I have the words. God's plan wasn't necessarily to recruit Aaron to accomplish these tasks, but it was through the dialogue that he had with Moses, where Moses would give God reasons why he couldn't, shouldn't, didn't want to, couldn't be, wasn't good enough, or was just trying to get out of an opportunity. So the Lord calls upon Aaron. And he does this without Aaron's knowledge, without Aaron's approval, without Aaron's opportunity to respond. It says in Scripture in Exodus 4 that the Lord said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well, and he is already on his way to meet you, and will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth." What I find interesting about this is that, once again, Aaron hasn't volunteered, but Aaron isn't even present. When the Lord approached Moses, he said, "Moses, this is the job. We're going to talk about this. No, you don't want to do it. Okay, this is what we're going to work with." And Aaron's just on his way to meet Moses. He's like, "And Aaron's going to be there with you." Aaron gets called, gets recruited, gets built into this role, first and foremost, because he was present. He was already around. He had the connections that he needed. He had the opportunity and relationships to be a part of this team that the Lord was building. He was gifted. The Lord even acknowledged his gifts and strengths. And he chose Aaron in a way that made him complementary to Moses, that Moses didn't have to have the strongest abilities or characteristics in every single facet, but Aaron could bring along and be strong where Moses wasn't, that they could borrow and share and collaborate on their gifts together to accomplish the things that God was setting out and the glory that he was having for this situation. I asked once a Sunday school teacher when I was a kid, why did God even take Moses? Moses didn't want to go, and apparently Aaron was the speaker who was better in the first place. So why didn't God just say, okay, you know what, forget it, you're cut. Aaron, I'm going to set this bush on fire and we're going to talk over here now. Your brother, he failed, he cut, he's out. You are now the guy. And the teacher had no answer. I think that's one of those moments where a kid asks a teacher something that's just so out of the blue that they're like, Hubba, ask your mom and dad. She ended up coming back to me the week later and said, the reason why God didn't cut Moses is because God still wanted Moses and Moses still had a role to play. Although there were things that Aaron could bring to the table, there would be things that Moses would bring that Aaron could not. And in that sense, it's this relationship that God is seeking to build for them. Because there were these gifts that Moses had that were more central, he would be the one who would be taking the lead. But because there would be things that he was not gifted enough in his mind, supportive roles would be brought in to help him accomplish the tasks that the Lord was laying out. That bringing in these new gifts of Aaron's to the equation would bring a likely comfort to Moses himself and a greater likelihood of success for the ministry and work that they had ahead of them. Later on in Scripture, Aaron is established as priest. It doesn't explicitly say it, but it's understood by a lot of scholars that Aaron would be established as a first high priest among the nation of Israel. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons, so that they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. And after you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them, consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests. Aaron's job eventually over the years changed from what it first was. After that burning bush experience, it was him and Moses versus the world. But times have changed. His giftings have shifted. The Lord has been preparing him to a new task that he would have never had the opportunity to do or be or serve in had he not submitted to Moses' leadership back in the beginning. These doors that are opening, these opportunities that Aaron has to be a leader for the nation in this capacity over here, as a leader, only came because he allowed the Lord to lead him specifically into the role of a second to someone else. And after Aaron ministered with Moses, these giftings changed. His abilities developed, and he was strengthened. Now, Aaron had two levels of responsibility within his ministry at different points. And the first was that he had a role in his relationship with Moses. He worked with Moses, helping him craft the words that he would say to Pharaoh when they were looking to free the nation. He was the spokesperson to the nation itself, that people would come to him, and he would speak on behalf of Moses. This might have been a public speaking thing. Some theologians and people think it has to do with there being some type of stutter or speech impediment. But Aaron's job was also as kind of a public representative for the people to help once again feed back to our leaders and to Moses himself. If Moses is dealing with everyone's concerns one by one and holding an open kind of session for people to bring their concerns, he's never going to have the opportunity or the time he needs to spend with the Lord, to hear how the Lord is leading, to work on the job and task that the Lord has assigned to him. Aaron became this representative for Moses and this collaborator with, helping him do and prepare in the ways that he needed so Moses could do his task in each of those situations. The picture you see there is actually a description or an artist's interpretation of what the scripture says in terms of the garments that he was given in that anointing in Exodus 28. Which brings us to Aaron's role as a nation. He was established as a priest. Some believe, once again, the high priest. It was his job once a year to enter into the holies of holies, the place where God resided, and to sacrifice on behalf of the nation itself for the sin that was had, to make them, once again, atone for what they were struggling with in the sin that was present. Aaron's role required him to be, in times of need, a greater leader than an average day would ask. Aaron's role as being this second to Moses and this priest also required him that in a situation where Moses was not there or Moses could not be reached, that it was his job to step up and to give more of himself for a time to take hold of that office of primary leader and then to let go of it when the time had passed. And in one of these situations, unfortunately the one that categorizes his ministry, or is the most obvious one that comes to mind, is his misstep with the golden calf. Moses had disappeared up the mountain to meet with the Lord, and after some time had passed, such rampant fear went through the tribe that they thought Moses had been dead or abandoned them or had gone on somewhere else, and that they would not receive his leadership again. So Aaron, in an attempt to rectify the situation with his own ideas, trying to be the guy to solve the problem that was existing, created a graven image and had the nation worship that image. Unfortunately, once again, in this instance, he led the people farther away from God than closer to. And he did this not out of a desire to mislead people, but unfortunately, he put too much of his own ideas and didn't follow the Lord's leading or listen closely enough to what the Lord was saying. As a leader, whether you're in the spotlight, the one speaking, or whether you're behind the scenes, the one sweeping afterwards, cleaning up tables, or whether you're the one who, once again, is in a room present in a ministry, whether you're the first or the last, your job is essentially and central to completing the task that God has given you. In leadership, there are massive risks. There's risks in trying anything new. There's risks in changing. There's risks in building something that didn't exist before. But we do, in our lives and in our relationship, follow a forgiving God who loves us, who provides opportunities for us. Despite our shortcomings or the mistakes that we made, he does not close doors for us. And in that sense, we have the opportunity to provide the same freedom for each other. Forgiveness in failures. Grace where grace is needed. And we can accept the fact that moving forward is sometimes uncomfortable. But doing so together as a team, whether we're the one locking the doors at the end of the day or whether we're the one speaking to and in a ministry setting. But sometimes we short ourselves. We give our giftings less credit than they're actually worth. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of what God is trying to show and do us. Wouldn't it be great if God appeared in a burning bush and cornered us on everything he wanted us to do? I mean, it'd be pretty easy to follow his direction at that point. He burst into flames and said, "Do this," and you said, "Yes." But in this situation, when we look at Aaron, his role and his place in that team was to support someone else in the ministry that the Lord had given them. And in that, he provided an opportunity for God to do more through Moses than he could have done just simply through Moses. God does immeasurably more to us and through us than we think is possible, particularly when we allow others to help us in that process. In the Bible, Aaron was the first second. And we need to learn to be seconds within our lives. To actively seek a place within our ministry, within our day-to-day life, where we see someone else working towards a goal, and we ask ourselves the question, how can I use what God has given me to help them accomplish that goal. When we look at churches, churches are always asking for volunteers. They're always making calls of, we need people to step up to do this, this, and this. And most often that situation is because there's lots of Moseses in the room. There's lots of people who have a vision and direction and the plan in place, but they don't have those seconds to support them to accomplish what needs to be done and what the Lord is laying out. If 90% of the ministry that we did was supporting someone else in their ministry, I believe we would accomplish more for the kingdom than we do right now. That the Lord has made all of us in different ways, in different shapes, in different sizes, but He's made us to be in relationship and support one another. I remember once we had the team of youth builders here, and I like to really get involved with those youth builders when they come, and I do something different than that from what I've understood no other churches do. I sit down and I give each youth builder a half an hour interview / evaluation on what I saw from their week that week. And the last time that we had a team, I met a young man who was, and I think the best word is tormented, about what God was trying to get him, or what God was trying to show him in his life. And he said, I don't want to be a pastor, but how else can I use the gifts that God has given me to my full extent? He had some ideas, and the Lord had been leading him to maybe go back to the country where he was born at some point, but his fear was, coming out of the program and education he had, that automatically he would be required to take this office, and he felt that for him, it would be limiting. But he saw it as the only option forward. Well, I've done this, so I have to become a pastor. And I sat him down and I said, who says so? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, who says you have to become a pastor? And he said, well, I took this degree. And I said, nobody's telling you that. And he said, well, I've got these gifts. And I said, and that doesn't mean that's what you have to do with them. And I said, do you know what my favorite thing in my ministry setting is? My friend Vernon. This was a number of years ago when he was volunteering with us. He went through Bible college. He went through to be a youth pastor. He went through the Youth Builders program and decided it wasn't for him. And because of that, I got him as my main leader for our youth ministry. It was like having a huge resource in someone who knew their strengths, but were willing to just let someone else take the lead in what that would look like and how that would be shaped. And it was amazing because I knew I had a volunteer and I knew what his gifts were, and I could tell him to jump and he would jump. And in the same way, because he had a different perspective, he could say, well, Sam, what if we did this differently this way? Although in that situation, if we both applied to the church for a job, we probably would have been on easily standing ground. But for him, he saw his role as a second, like Aaron was to Moses. For this young youth builder, when we put the prospect on the table that he did not have to be the number one, but could use his gifts to the full extent for someone else's purpose, the weight that fell off his shoulders was just visible. It was tangible. You could feel it in the room at that moment. That he realized that going forward and serving God didn't mean he had to do anything specific, but he could do everything and anything that the Lord had placed before him. And that responsibility for accomplishing the kingdom did not need to weigh solely on his shoulders. Not all of us are meant to be number ones. Not all of us are designed to be primary leaders. And nothing would get done if we were. If we all had the CEO mentality, nobody would want to do anything. Everyone would just want to sit in a room and think about what things could be and necessarily never get us anywhere. Not all of us are built as leaders, but leadership depends on the composition of the team itself. Every one of us can learn to be Aaron to someone else's Moses. Every single one of us can learn to use our gifts to support leadership, even if leadership is doing something different than we may think ourselves. Even if they're going in a different direction than necessarily what we would have made the call, we can be loving and supportive and resources to that direction and to that leadership, to each other. And we could use our gifts to accomplish something greater than we could do on our own. Because we are partnering in the model that the Lord laid out with Moses and Aaron of a team, of people working together with a common goal. In your life this week, I encourage you not to really do anything tangible in the next 7 days. But I want to encourage you to watch, to approach your week with an open eyes and a willing heart just to see what the Lord has there, what is already in place, what the Lord is already doing around you. Not something you can start or not something that you can change or get a new idea on the ground, but look for something that is already happening around you and ask yourself the question, how can what I have help the Lord do great things in this setting that already exists? Find an opportunity to be a support to someone else in their ministry and the ministry that God is leading them in. How much more successful would the kingdom be if we work together in all that we do? How many more lives would be transformed and shaped and grown through the truth of Jesus Christ if we all submitted not just to God, but to each other? We will all have opportunities to lead, but we don't need to lead all the time. This week, open eyes and an open heart, and see what the Lord is doing already around you in your life, because He has actually already made a place for you there, a place to serve, a place to bless through the gifts that you have and the vision that is already in motion. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all of those who are leaders, for the gifts that you have given for the public speakers and the administrators, for the laborers and the visionaries, for those financially oriented or construction capable. Lord, you've given us in this church such a wealth of individuals with talent and strengths. Lord, show us in our church ministry what is already happening, what is in need, what could be blessed by our willingness to show up and say, "Here I am." Lord, we thank you for Aaron, that he played this amazing role for Moses, for the blessing that came to the nation through his leadership and the change in his leadership over the years. Lord, we know that you are working. We know that you are shaping. Help us to see it. Help us to recognize it. So in your name, we can stand up and work towards your purpose. In your name we pray. Amen. This week, grab a sermon handout and dive in again once in, looking at these different relationships. For they take many different forms and use many different people. But the Lord is looking to use each and every one of us. In his name.